They know they will reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call Legal Tax Defense right now for a free, no-risk consultation. 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Governor Wes Moore held his third bill signing ceremony of 2025 on Tuesday. Among the legislation signed into law was the Excellence in Maryland Public Schools Act, which Moore says is a key piece of his administration's legislative agenda. The governor says the new law strengthens Maryland's public education system. Other measures signed aim to ensure greater access to state benefits for Maryland's veterans and military families and strengthen ethical standards for Maryland's elected governors, with a requirement to place all interest in a blind trust, except those exempted by the State Ethics Commission. During a meeting of the U.S. Naval Academy Board of Visitors, Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen called for the restoration of nearly 400 books removed from the Academy's library. The books were removed last month after Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's office reviewed and eliminated materials promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
O's bats disappeared last night in Minnesota as Pablo Lopez and four relievers allowed just three hits and struck out 17 birds on their way to a 9-1 pounding of the Orioles, the Birds' 10th loss in their last 14 games. Every Oriole in the lineup struck out at least once, Gunnar Henderson explains.
I just feel like the big thing is just can't go out there and try to force it to happen. Just got to go out there and try to string it together each and every night.
Birds fall to a season low, 8 games under 500. And don't look now, but Charlie Morton takes the hill tonight. Caps head coach Spencer Carberry was worried about the frenetic pace the Carolina Hurricanes play with, and his premonition came true last night in D.C.
Now Orloff around behind for Martin. That one goes back to the point to Slavin. And they score! Jacob Slavin through a screen! Carolina wins game one in overtime!
Sean McDonough with the call on ESPN. Canes firing 65 shots at the Caps last night on their way to a 2-1 series opening win. Here's forward Dylan Strome.
It's like we didn't play our style of hockey tonight. We kind of let them dictate the game, and you know, they're a good team when you let them do that.
Game two at Capital One Arena on Thursday night. And finally, Kentucky Derby winner Sovereignty will not run in the Preakness Stakes, ending any chance at a Triple Crown for a seventh consecutive year. Trainer Bill Mott told Preakness officials he plans to enter Sovereignty in the Belmont on June 7th. Coming up in 30 minutes, there's a new kicker in Baltimore, and his name is Tyler Loop. And that is Stein on Sports.
Hey, it's Kim Klasick. When it comes to something as important as your roof, you want a company that's been there and done that. That's Wallace Roofing and Construction. They've been in business for over 90 years and are family-owned. No subcontractors, just quality, trusted workmanship on every job, residential or commercial. Call Wallace Roofing today at 410-655-3700. That's 410-655-3700. And tell them Kim Klasick sent you. Wallace Roofing, above all, a good roof. MHIC number 1566.
At 11:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Good-looking day to get outside. Sunshine, comfortable temperatures, 78 today. Tomorrow, scattered thunder showers in the afternoon, 80 the high. And scattered showers Friday. Cooler, 68 Friday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Currently 68 degrees in Bel Air, 69 in Halethorpe, and 67 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? We had some great discussion. Of course, we were talking about juvenile crime. We were talking about the Canadian Prime Minister visiting the White House. And of course, we were talking about Mayor Brandon Scott, the fact that he is now expanded the budget in his office to hire more individuals on his communications team to help him with his media training because he believes that he can take the show on the road. Right now, I wanted to jump in to this because this has kind of been the theme for the past couple weeks. We've been talking about ways that we can make sure that in the Republican Party, we can truly win in the midterms. And as many know, this is extremely important because if we don't deliver for President Trump, keeping the majority in the House and in the Senate, then President Trump is not going to be able to accomplish a lot of different things that he needs to accomplish in his second leg, I guess you could say, of his second term. Executive orders are all fine and dandy, but as we know, there are many judges that are just waiting for him to put more executive orders out there so they can rescind them. And at the end of the day, we need Congress to codify a lot of these things into law. And so we've talked about how we wish Speaker Mike Johnson would move a little bit quicker on that. But in the meantime, I've been watching a lot of different people that have been organizing across the country to ensure that we keep both the House and the Senate and pick up some of the local seats on the state level as well. So I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Ellis Dukart. He is the state director for Pennsylvania's Early Vote Action, which was founded by Scott Pressler. Good morning, Ellis. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I know you're very busy, so I won't take up too much of your time. But first and foremost, I appreciate you doing all the work that you're doing in Pennsylvania. I know that it is not a small task. I guess to start here, I want to ask you, how did you get involved in all of this and how long?
I started volunteering in December of 2023. I had been interacting, if everybody remembers, that Scott was politely asking Ronna McDaniel when she was still chairman or chairwoman of the RNC, you know, just to have a meeting to talk about grassroots efforts. And I started commenting back on Scott's posts for a couple weeks, and then he invited me to go to a gun show in Philadelphia, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, well, no, first, like I said, I appreciate you because I know there were many people that were volunteering for my campaign, and I appreciate you reaching out to me as well for the signage placement. But many people that were volunteering for my campaign, when they weren't doing stuff here, they were there in Pennsylvania assisting. And so you guys have a huge reach there in Pennsylvania. I know that you were posting about the last day of voter registration. You know, the election cycle is a little bit different here in Maryland. What are you guys currently working on there in Pennsylvania?
So in Pennsylvania, we have primary on May 20th. So as you said, a couple days ago was the last day to register. If you wanted to vote in that primary, you have to be registered 2 weeks before an election in order to vote in that election. So this year we have a lot of school board elections, municipal elections, which is going to be like sheriffs, municipal town supervisors, and then school boards. And so our goal is to have everybody who just voted for President Trump in this last election to continue voting so that his policies can be implemented, like you said, on the local level. We don't, you know, we have school boards right now who are fighting to keep, you know, the boys in the girls' locker rooms and in the girls' bathrooms. And we just need everybody that voted for Trump, if you want to see his policies implemented on the local level, like you had mentioned, we need to have people who are, you know, on our side elected at the local level. So that's our goal this year.
And if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Ellis Dukart, who is the state director for Pennsylvania's Early Vote Action. Ellis, you know, I did see a post where you've got people on your team that are converting Democrats to Republicans. Now, this has been very difficult here in the state of Maryland. How are you achieving that there in Pennsylvania?
There's in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of, there's a big union base. So people who have voted Democrat because their father voted Democrat or because everybody in the union voted Democrat. And a lot of their eyes were opened in this last election. And so we had a lot of Democrats who did vote for Trump. So we're going out and we're just trying to find those people. And, you know, in Pennsylvania, it's a closed primary state. So if you're registered as a Democrat and these Democrats are having, you know, primaries where, you know, the people are pretty much are being selected, we're offering them an alternative. Come to the Republican side, hear out all of the different candidates, and then you get a chance to actually vote in somebody that, you know, you align with instead of just going along with, you know, who the party wants. And that's been pretty successful for us.
Yeah. And, you know, just so you know, Ellis, last week we had on Cliff Maloney, and I'm pretty sure you're probably familiar
Love
with Cliff.
Cliff.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that he they knocked, what, over 80,000 doors in that last election cycle. Is that another key to this? Is it really, you know, because, of course, you want to talk to people, you know, the quality of the conversation is important. But I would think when you knock enough doors or call enough voters, that that has to amount to something. Because I saw where Bucks County is now in R+1. I guess I'm just trying to figure out, because there's a lot of people that listen to this show that like to volunteer as well. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, here in such a blue state, you know, what would be, in your view, you know, the plan of action, the strategy as we come out of the gate here? Because we do have some seats, even on the state level, that can be flipped. And I do believe that we can, you know, make it work. But I guess it's hard for us to imagine where to start.
So if it was me, I would find several local businesses that are friendly in the area and just have a constant presence there. It doesn't need to be every day, but maybe once or twice a week, having somebody sitting outside the table or outside the business, just having conversations with people. Because in Maryland, even more so, politics is kind of like this, like unmentionable. You don't really, you don't bring up politics kind of in a lot of public settings.
Yeah.
But to see Republicans out at like a farmer's market or gun stores and like all these things, it gives people an opportunity to feel that they are being heard, and then it gives us an opportunity to help engage them. You know, are you happy with all of the infrastructure things that have been going on, saying in Carroll County? We have a couple different things going on. MPRP is a huge one, where this is activating a lot of people who are not traditionally political, but it's something that hits home for them. And that's a way, like, we just need to be there to show them that we are, you know, on their side. We're actually actively working towards, you know, a common goal, and that things can actually be accomplished. And it's not, you know, you're not out here by yourself. We're stronger when we have more people involved. You know, if you really feel strongly about this, come out and, you know, sit in front of, you know, sit at this farmer's market with me and we can talk about it. And then before you know it, you've had a conversation with a couple hundred people at the farmer's market. Things start to, you know, become more organized. You get more people. And then you can, you know, like you said, go door knocking. You get 10 people together and go door knocking, you're going to do way more than just one person alone. So finding people who have, you know, common ground, and then organizing and getting those people out to, you know, find more people.
Yeah. Yeah. Ellis, let me ask you this. So what are your thoughts on the mail-in ballots?
Mail-in ballots, something that at Early Vote Action, in Pennsylvania, I'll speak to it more. We do encourage people to get a mail-in ballot just because something can happen on election day, and then it's as a backup plan. But what we really are pushing here in Pennsylvania is the in-person early voting. That way, we're not going into election day down, you know, hundreds of thousands of votes. People are already voting, and then we're able to then go chase other people's votes. So once you go vote, you're off our list. We don't have to come knock on your door. We're not sending any more literature to your house. We can use those resources to go get the next vote. And we're seeing a lot of people come around to it. In the Republican Party, there's, you know, it was linked to, you know, people were saying, oh, it's cheating, it's this and that. This is the rules that we have to play by. If we're only voting on one day, and Democrats have been voting for a month, the chances of us winning go down drastically. So we're engaging people on a day-to-day basis, explaining to them, you're going to go to your elections office, you're going to hand them your mail-in ballot request, they're going to hand a ballot back to you, you're going to fill it out, and then you're going to give it back to the elections officials. So there's, you know, you're not relying on the mail service. You can track your vote online to make sure that it's been processed and accepted. And it is a tool that we need to use if we want to have one day, you know, in-person voting, which everybody at Early Vote Action wants that. We have to play by the rules that are in front of us right now in order to get the people elected to make those changes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Ellis Dukar, you know, again, I appreciate you joining us. He's the state director for Pennsylvania's Early Vote Action. I got a text here. You might know the answer to this, you might not. He's asking, how do you suggest we go about dealing with the gerrymandered districts here in Maryland? Because, of course, it's bad on the congressional level, but the texter is right. When it comes to the state and local jurisdictions, it's awful. It really is. How do you suppose that we can go about that, if that's even something you've been thinking about?
We have in Pennsylvania, I can speak to it more, the state Supreme Court actually unconstitutionally gerrymandered the districts in 2018. So what we're doing this year is we're running a campaign to vote no to retain these judges so we can get different judges in there and then put the job back where it's supposed to be with the state legislature. Calling state legislatures, and having them fight for you, letting them know, you know, that it's a priority, that, you know, your vote, especially in the district that, you know, you ran in this last election, where somebody in Carroll County is in the same district as somebody in Baltimore City, and they have nothing in, you know, in terms of lifestyle, they have nothing in common. What sense does that make? So just bringing these things to light and then getting more people involved to bring, you know, more pressure to do these things, that's the grassroots way, and that's kind of what we're after, having the people come out and be heard.
Yeah. Ellis Dukar, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. If people want to get involved with Early Vote Action and even help there in Pennsylvania, how do we do that?
You can reach out to myself on Twitter, or I guess X. It's eduke15. You can also, if you're interested in donating to Early Vote Action, it's earlyvoteaction.com/donate. We would all of the money that you guys send to us goes directly to putting more people on the ground. Right now we have 25, soon to be 27 coordinators across Pennsylvania, and I believe we're up to a dozen in New Jersey. So we're growing fast. We're out there every single day. I have a list of 50 different places that we've registered people to vote. So if you're interested in actually getting people registered to vote, reach out, come out and volunteer with us. We like to help set our volunteers up for success. And, let's keep this thing going.
Yeah, no, amen. And I know we're going to be doing that here soon also in the Maryland area and trying to chip away. I know it isn't easy, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of rejection when you're out there talking to voters, Ellis. So thank you so much. I hope you never give up. I know that you won't. And hopefully we're very successful here in 2026. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Have a great day. And again, that's Ellis Dukar. He is the state director for Pennsylvania's Early Vote Action. Now, Early Vote Action, like I said, it was founded by Scott Pressler. And from what I could tell, they're mostly in the swing states. And if you've been paying attention to New Jersey, what's going on there? And, oh, you know what? I'm going to reach out to Christina. She's in New Jersey running for office as well. I'll get her on the show. But if you're watching what's going on in New Jersey, they have very similar issues there that we have here in Maryland. And now it's in play, right? It's in play. Like, they're going to be looking at New Jersey as a swing state. As I noted before, they might end up with a Republican governor this next election cycle. And I do think they're going to flip two of their congressional seats. But they also have state and local jurisdiction seats that look like they might flip as well. So New Jersey, I would say by 2026, will in fact be a purple state. It will be a swing state. And as you heard there, Early Vote Action, Scott Pressler, they've been on the ground there and they're really beefing things up. And I just am appreciative of all those people that can spend time on this. Now, Early Vote Action, they do bring in donations so that they can have people on full time year round, which is important. We talk about knocking doors. and registering voters year-round because these people are on a salary, because they are paid to be at early vote action and do all of this work, they can focus on it 100% of the time all year round. So if you could make a donation to early vote action, that would be great as well, because, you know, as we speak about this all the time, we're not going to win just knocking doors during election season. That's not going to chip things away. So, again, thank you, Ellis Dukart, for joining us. Coming up next, I do want to talk about those three restaurants that are closing at Columbia Mall. And then we'll check back in on the question of the day that's at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate.
When it comes to preparing for a crisis, it doesn't matter if you're a year early, a month early, or a day early. But you can't be a day late. That's why millions of Americans trust My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest preparedness company. Right now, you can get their 4-week emergency food supply, plus an incredible bonus, 4 free 72-hour food kits. That's an extra 12 days worth of food, absolutely free. This kit provides hearty, delicious meals for 4 weeks with 2,000 plus calories per day, 12 essential vitamins and minerals, and a shelf life of up to 25 years. And for a limited time, they're including 12 additional days of food, absolutely free. Which means right now is the best time to get prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today to claim your 4-week food kit, plus an extra 12 days of free food. Offer ends soon. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Planning your upcoming wedding or special event? Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills will create a menu for your special event and create a room block for your out-of-town guest. Enjoy their indoor pool and fitness center. Wake up to a delicious cup of coffee and made-to-order breakfast at the grill. Reach out to Lori Ruby in the sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call 410-654-0030. You can always count on Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
And that was Ellis Dukart from Early Vote Action in Pennsylvania. And I know they don't have a chapter in Maryland. I know they're very focused on the swing states, but when we get Red Renaissance up and going again here in the next couple weeks, actually, we'll be knocking doors here in the state of Maryland. You could always help us out as well. And as I've had on the show time and time again, Glenn Gilhar, he's out there knocking doors probably right now. I mean, it's just what he does. And that's the way that you can win these elections is you got to go out daily. You got to put in the work. You just have to. Hopefully, Texter, that answered your question about the gerrymandered districts. It's going to come down to the court. Excuse me. The courts are going to have to decide. I know that we are outnumbered here in the state. Luckily, with I guess you could say the last time that we had the maps redrawn, I think the Republicans did a great job taking that to the courts. I know Dan Cox was actually involved in that, Neil Parrott. And I know it's so heartbreaking to still mention Neil Parrott, knowing that he did not win. That should have been a slam dunk. That should have been a slam dunk. He should have won by at least 3 points. But hopefully, you know what? I still haven't heard whether or not he's going to run again. I hope that he does. I think he has a name recognition. I think he puts in the work. And I think that we can have many volunteers get behind him. If we could flip that seat there in District 6, how amazing would that be? We would then have Andy Harris and Neil Parrott, both America First, within the congressional delegation here in the state. So think of the possibilities. Just think. Also, I wanted you to just hear what CNN had to say about President Trump. Apparently, President Trump's approval rating when it comes to crime and violence is up. And CNN was happy to report it. Take a listen.
All right. Net approval rating handling crime. What do we have here? We have a positive rating for Donald Trump, even in the most recent polling. Look at that. At plus 2 points. Far better than Joe Biden, who was so far underwater. My goodness. He was setting records at minus 26 points. You rarely ever see it. So Donald Trump ran in part on law and order. It was one of the reasons that he got elected. And at this particular point, Americans like what they're hearing from him on the issue of crime. And you see this right here with a +2 net approval rating, far better than Joe Biden left office with back in 2024.
And there you have it. That's CNN. Yes. Trump's approval rating is a lot higher than Joe Biden's was at this time last year. And he's really doing a fantastic job. I know there are a lot of people in the media that are complaining about, you know, the way that he's rounding up illegal immigrants. There's a lot of people complaining about some of the things that he's doing as far as his executive orders. But just so you know, the American people, the people that actually matter in all of this, right, not the talking heads or the pundits, they're saying they actually love the job that President Trump is doing. And so just keep that in mind. You know, don't let things get you down. When you hear on the mainstream media, oh, Trump this, Trump that, just remember, the silent majority still exists. There are still many people out there that support him 100% and like what he's doing. Right. They tried to cause all that controversy with the stock market and the tariffs. And, you know, of course, there's going to be some pain there. Of course. But is it like we're all going to die tomorrow? No. They love the fear mongering. That's what they do best. Speaking of which, we get back, not only going to talk about the three restaurants closing at Columbia Mall. I do have some sound here from Channel 11 because you've got Senator Bill Ferguson. And the Democrats here in the state of Maryland that are wondering how much more federal funding will President Trump and his administration pull back from the state of Maryland. This is why what Stephen A. Smith said in his comments that we played earlier, this is why it's important for Democrats to do the right thing for their constituents. Right. Just do what's in our best interest. This whole thing, like fighting the Trump administration at every step of the way, the lawsuits, right, saying that this is going to be the DEI capital of the world. Just stop already. He won overwhelmingly. It wasn't even close. Like you had every swing state went to President Trump. The popular vote. When's the last time the Republicans got the popular vote? That went to Trump. Minorities voted for Trump. Black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, white people, everybody voted for Trump. Women, suburban women voted for Trump. The elderly voted for Trump. Hispanic individuals voted for Trump. Those that they were calling Latinx, even though I don't know why they named Latinx, what is that? Anyways, they even voted for President Trump. And so at the end of the day, and I know that you want to stand strong because, you know, Maryland's this blue state. But at the end of the day, if you want to go to the national level, Governor Wes Moore or Mayor Brandon Scott, you're going to have to accomplish something in the next 4 years. And if you keep fighting, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. And what is that going to do for your national profile? I want you to think about that. All right, coming up next, Columbia Mall, three restaurants are closing, and the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Will it be or won't it?
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. It's a day of change at the nation's airports for domestic travelers. Real ID is now in effect. Travelers taking a domestic flight and using a state-issued ID to get through security must have one that meets federal Real ID requirements. Homeland Security says people without Real ID will still be able to fly, although there will be additional identity checks and possible delays. Catholic cardinals are sequestering at the Vatican for their conclave to elect the next pope. The 133 cardinals from 70 countries will be voting in secret inside the Sistine Chapel. The Walt Disney Company saw revenue rise 7% from the same quarter a year ago. Disney's domestic theme parks thrived in the second quarter, and the company added another 2.5 million Disney Plus and Hulu subscribers. This is SRN News.
Hi, Sean Casey here. If you're thinking about home improvements, let me tell you about a company I personally stand behind, AES Builders and Home Improvements. You know, for over 35 years, AES has built trust by delivering top quality additions and remodeling. When they're done, you'll be happy. If you're not happy, they're not done. Having earned 43 plus Super Service Awards and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, AES is all about integrity and craftsmanship. They never cut corners, never bid to subcontractors, and always offer the best work at the lowest price. Plus, their free concierge service makes sure you get exactly what you want. And here's the best part. AES is giving $2,500 off any addition, kitchen, or bath remodel to the first 25 callers in April. So call 1-800-787-SAVE. That's 1-800-787-SAVE. Or go to aeshome.us. AES, when they're done, you'll be happy. Don't forget, with that special offer, call now 1-800-787-SAVE.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Birds manage only 3 hits and strike out 17 times on their way to a 9-1 loss to Minnesota last night. It was the 10th loss in their last 14 games. Cade Povich allowed 5 runs in the third. Brandon Hyde after the game.
That's the story. Yeah, we got nothing going offensively. That Cade just had one bad inning. Misfired on a couple pitches. Gave us 6 innings. We're just pretty empty offensively.
Before the game, a glimmer of hope from Hyde on Zach Eflin.
He's going to throw a side tomorrow here, and then all goes well. Hopefully he will start for us one of the days in Anaheim over the weekend.
Ravens news, all eyes now turn to Tyler Loop as he inherits the Ravens' kicking mantle. Big shoes to fill, of course. Here's head coach John Harbaugh on what he's seen from Luke.
He's good. I mean, he's a talented guy. He's strong, and he's very consistent with his leg swing. I think he's one of these guys who's a kicking nerd. You like to see that. I mean, he's really into every detail and technique, and he studied Justin a lot.
Luke spent 5 years at Arizona, including the COVID year, in a program record 62-yard field goal last year against Houston. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Hurricanes were just too much for the Caps. And that is Stein on Sports.
Mother Nature putting the wet weather on pause for just one day. Another cold front on the way. More rain tomorrow and Friday, but today's a dry day. 78 this afternoon. Tomorrow starts out partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, near 80 the high tomorrow. Lots of clouds Friday. More scattered showers, and it is cooler. 68 Friday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay informed this storm season with the BGE mobile app, where you can report, track, and monitor the progress of outages when weather impacts their service area. Download the app today by visiting bge.com/app. That's bge.com/app.
Kyle started Blindster in 2010 to make quality custom-made blinds affordable to everyone. Traditional window covering retailers are expensive. Our prices are low and our blinds are guaranteed to fit. Blindster.com.
Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs feature helps you stand out and hire fast. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and coworkers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, just so you guys know, tomorrow we are going to talk about that 53-year-old woman, Dawn White, who was found dead inside a safe in a Baltimore home. I did see that story. We're going to talk about that. Also, in Frederick, a couple of things being said at a school board meeting that I think that you should hear. And then live in studio tomorrow, we will have Isabel coming. That's right. She's the Inspector General in Baltimore City. She's coming here to WCBM tomorrow at 10 a.m. So tell all of your friends. She will be here at 10 a.m. We're going to talk about DPW and some other investigations that she is doing. I can't wait to see her here. I did want to get into some of these other stories. Real quick, before we get to Columbia Mall, Senator Bill Ferguson and Democrats are wondering if their child support checks are going to be cut off. I'm serious on that one. Yes, they're wondering because because they're wondering if President Trump is going to turn off the federal dollar spigot. Take a listen.
Maryland Senate President Bill Ferguson says he hasn't heard anything specific to make him question whether the federal government will cover the full cost of rebuilding the Key Bridge. But he says with hundreds of millions of dollars in unexpected cuts so far this year, state leadership is preparing for the possibility.
On Tuesday, Maryland Senate President Bill Ferguson telling reporters that the proposed federal budget could lead to a $430 million cut to Maryland's budget. That revelation leading to other questions about cuts.
Of course, that's something that's in our analysis of possibilities, but I have no specific information that gives us any reason to have any concern that those funds will not be available for reimbursement when we go towards construction.
Last week, a bond rating agency issued a negative outlook for Maryland Transportation Authority revenue bonds, citing uncertainty in reconstructing the Francis Scott Key Bridge. If the federal government didn't cover the full cost, Maryland could be on the hook for nearly $200 million.
The mechanism for which it would be reimbursed is a emergency fund out of FEMA is where those dollars land.
Before President Joe Biden left office, Congress approved funding to replenish that FEMA emergency fund. But the Senate president recognizes
Congress has the power of purse, and so they could always pass a bill that could transfer funds or remove them in some way.
But Ferguson says because many states rely on those funds when an emergency happens, any move to remove those funds could hurt many states, not just Maryland.
So I think there are a number of southern states that have some projects that are potentially to be reimbursed out of that fund, and Republican states. So that's my sense of why we believe that there's not a huge question.
Ferguson says rebuilding the Key Bridge has to get done, meaning other state projects would suffer if the federal government didn't pay for 100% of the cost. For 11 News Investigates, I'm Tali Taylor.
All right. So they say that they're not too worried about it, but they're somewhat worried about it. And I think this is another reason why you would think that Democrats in Annapolis would understand that working with President Trump, you know, on any of these issues is something that they should do. It's in their best interest, right? It's in all of our best interests. So protesting things like DOGE, right? Not attending his address. Remember when Kwai Sian-Fume was so proud of himself for not going to hear President Trump speak to members of Congress? Suing the Trump administration, lashing out online, not working with ICE, right? Declaring Baltimore the DEI capital of the world, all these other things. When you're working against the Trump administration, yes, you're going to wonder whether or not those federal funds will come into play. Now, I want to think that nothing's going to happen to the Francis Scott Key Bridge money, only because that is something that was decided by Congress, that was decided recently, and you have Congressman Andy Harris that was all over that, and Andy Harris is very friendly with Trump, and I'm sure he's spoke to Trump about how important that is. But this should be another red flag for you, Democrats in Annapolis. Working with the president, or at least not suing him, is probably a better idea. All right, let's get into these three restaurants closing at Columbia Mall. It's a sad situation. It's a sad situation. But as Baltimore City hoodlums tear down surrounding counties, this is what's going to happen. I said hoodlums, do not say animals. Okay, even though that's how I feel about these individuals. We talked about this before. There are black people, and then there's that other little subset of the black community that many of us black people do not claim. Okay, we don't mess with them either, right? We don't. We believe that some of those individuals need real guidance, and they need to work on being successful, contributing members of society. We can't reach them either. So don't look at us because, you know, I'm black, thinking that I can, you know, reach some black criminal and have them do better in life. They don't listen to me either, okay? They don't. Well, anyways, three restaurants are closing at Columbia Mall because they've had enough of the crime and violence. And, of course, as taxes and fees go up, why stay? Take a listen.
A series of violent incidents is prompting one restaurant owner to shut down three of his eateries at the mall in Columbia. Fox 45's Keith Daniels joins us live with that owner's safety concerns and why some people for the mall say his story doesn't line up. Keith?
Well, Kai, that restaurant owner's public safety concerns come at a time when Howard County Police just released new initiatives aimed at deterring crime in downtown Columbia. Still tonight, a restaurant owner is ringing the alarm with pushback from mall management. At the mall in Columbia, an exodus along the outside strip of the shopping center. Three restaurants shut down: Benny's Pizza, the Warris Oyster and Ale House, and Chicken and Whiskey, shuttered over the past month. According to our partners at the Baltimore Sun, the owner, Desmond Riley, a partner with Star Restaurant Group, calling it quits over concerns about safety. Riley telling The Sun, in 2018, we opened up Warris in Columbia, and fast forward 7 years, and it's become a different place. He goes on to say, in the past 2.5 years, we've seen a dramatic precipitous downfall in our sales, and our audience is shrinking year over year. And the issues driving that are public safety, public confidence in the mall in Columbia. Shoppers at the mall Monday on the closures.
I don't think he should have, you know, shut his restaurants down. You know what I mean? Because that was bringing people. A lot of people like these restaurants.
I think that was the best thing he could have did. Honestly, I'm not mad at all. Great restaurants, awesome place to eat. But you got to worry about your safety today. And that's the sad part. We can't even enjoy like we used to do back in the day.
But as Riley rings the alarm over safety concerns, the mall's management company, Brookfield Properties, suggests to Fox 45 News Riley's reaction may be because of sour negotiations over his lease. A spokesperson releasing a statement Monday that reads in part, "While our policy is not to discuss the details of tenant leases publicly, it is unfortunate and misleading that they took this position after several months of negotiations to determine a path forward. We reached out to Riley for comment. He did not respond to our texts and calls." Meanwhile, over the last year, the mall in Columbia has been the hotbed of multiple shootings. In February, a double shooting on the mall parking lot that left one teen dead, another one wounded. Before that, in July last year, a murder inside the mall food court. 17-year-old Angelo Little gunned down. The suspect, 17-year-old William Thomas Marshall III, still on the loose. Well, part of that public safety plan released last month also includes an around-the-clock patrol beat assigned only to the mall and a full-time substation placed inside the mall. Keith Daniels, Fox 45 News.
All right. Now, do you blame the owner of those three restaurants? No, you don't. No, you don't. No one with common sense would blame the owner of those restaurants. And I like the fact that they interviewed that woman there. And she said, yeah, at the end of the day, this is what has to be done. You've got the crime, the violence, the high taxes, the employee quality. I will say, I don't know if you guys have been out to eat lately. You've got some servers that are great, right? You always have the some that, you know, go above and beyond and they're great servers. And then you got the other ones, you know. I would say probably always been a problem, right? There's always been high turnover in the food and beverage industry. But boy, oh boy, there are some servers you're just like, wow, how did you get the job? You know, and then you realize that they have shortages, right? There's a staffing shortage, not just the servers, but even in the kitchen. And then we've been hearing about the carjackings that have been happening in that area as well. So when you put all of those things together, why would you want to remain open for business there? And then again, the taxes and the fees. Why would you stay here? You wouldn't. Look, these are just three restaurants at Columbia Mall, but I think that we're going to end up seeing this time and time again across the state. I would say in the next even 90 days, you're going to have more restaurants closing. Texter says, look what happened to White Marsh Mall. Look, I was there yesterday, okay? I was there yesterday. And then he says, Texter says, as opposed to the avenue that takes security seriously. Yeah, so White Marsh Mall is like a ghost town now. You know, the Forever 21, I guess now that they've gone out of business, that's even gone. And that took up at least three spots there, right there by Macy's? I think so. Now that that's gone, it really looks bad. It already looked bad. Now it really looks bad. But you're right, Texter, at the avenue, which I take Olivia over there to eat all the time because she likes to go play in that little green area with all the kids and stuff like that. At the Avenue, you've got security there. And it looks like those that own the Avenue hired their own security and they do a good job. But that's another piece of this. If you own a restaurant, right, and I even see this at Vince's Crab House. If you own a restaurant, do you really also want to have to pay for private security while you're open? I mean, there's a lot adding up here. I say all the time, being in the food industry, in my view, you're running a charity to begin with. The markup on food, not much. Not much is there. I know a lot of people complain about the prices at Jimmy Seafood, and yeah, they're high. But the food is delicious, number one. But number two, they also have security. And number three, you know that your food's going to be good every single time, right? You're not going to get a steak full of fat or anything like that. It's going to be good. But at the same time, to be able to have such great service as they do, for them to do those tailgate parties and do all these other things. And then look, you've got the Chuck Roast happening at Jimmy Seafood in June. To have all these great things, you have to raise the prices. I mean, could you imagine some of those restaurants, especially in an area like that? Could you imagine if they didn't have security? I don't want to imagine such a thing. And that's what Columbia Mall is looking at. And even with White Marsh Mall, and like I said, I'm glad the Avenue could afford the security. And boy, is it beefed up there. I don't know, Brian, the producer, if you've been to the Avenue there in White Marsh. But the security is on foot. They're walking around, going around to each retail shop. And then they're also in their cars. But not only that, if you've ever taken a look, and this is me because I'm weird. I look at stuff like this. But there's always security, whether it's they're in their SUV or walking. They're right in front of that green space area Then they're always in front of like the Nike area where the Old Navy is. They're always in front of those restaurants. There's like a group of restaurants together where it's like Bar Louie. And then what is that? The Red Station or something like that. There's always security right there on foot. But yeah, they've got security everywhere at the Avenue. Everywhere. And so, yes, it deters, obviously, criminals. And so you don't have the same thing. Now, I will say last summer, if you recall, there was all this mayhem that happened at White Marsh Mall. And some of those juveniles then ran over to the Avenue area where they were trying to raise havoc there, too. Luckily, security shut it all down. But they tried. They attempted. And so now, if you're in business, do you also want to be a babysitter? I know I wouldn't. Right? You're dealing with the low quality staff. You're dealing with the taxes and the fees from the state. All the other regulations you got going on here. I'd close down too. I would close down too. And this is a sad part of it. It really is. You know, I want to go back and check the question of the day. And it was kind of a silly question, but it means a lot to me. At WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should every horse have to compete for the Triple Crown? I just want to see the numbers here. Oh, wow. So far, 31% of you agree with me. Only 31% you say yes. 69% of you say no. I just feel like it takes away. It takes away from the excitement. I want to see a Triple Crown winner. I want Sovereignty to come to town, and I want Sovereignty to win here and then go win at the Belmont Stakes. That's what I want to see. That's why I want to get dressed up. That's why I want to put on a silly hat. Man, I like the whole idea of the Triple Crown. I know I got some text messages from some of you that says, no, Kim, the horse has got to be healthy. You know, you got to do the right thing, take the right precautions. See, some of you guys, you're like, you know, like the hall monitors. You always want to do the right thing. You see, I'm a middle child, all right? Sometimes I don't do the right thing. Sometimes I don't care, right? I just want to have fun. Oh, man, but I understand what you're saying. I do. I just wish that, I know you can't make it a law, but I wish that those that race their horses, you know, in the Kentucky Derby, I wish that they really truly wanted their horses to go on to get the Triple Crown. And maybe they do want it, but it's just not possible. I don't know a whole lot about racing horses, but, oh, wait, do we have a caller that knows more than me on this? Of course we do. Of course we do. I got Tom in Harrisburg. Tom, what is the reason that horses don't run in all three sometimes?
Sometimes it's because they need more time to recover from the race. It's not the same as us running up a flight of stairs, and then when we catch our breath, we're fine. Some of them need more time to recover. There's also the transportation that takes away from the horse as well. And that's why he said after the race, when he gets with his people, he got with his trainers and got the best professional course for their next direction.
Well, let me ask you this, Tom. Should we space the races out? Should the Kentucky Derby not be so close to the Preakness?
Well, then would it be as special as it is when you only have a few over 100 years?
Well, I'm wondering if we have the Kentucky Derby and then we move the Preakness to June, like mid-June, and then we move the Belmont Stakes out to like, you know, mid-August.
Well, you make it easier, but does it change the how special and wonderful it is that only a few in 100 years could do what some have done? If you make it easier.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did see Justify was the name of the horse that won the Triple Crown last time in 2018. I look at it and I say, man, it seems more exciting to me personally. This is a personal issue. It's more exciting to me if you've got the Kentucky Derby winner come in town, because then I'm betting on that winner, right? I'm hoping for the Triple Crown.
You get the best of the best when you make it as difficult as you do, and then you filter out even more when it's 2 weeks later.
All right, Tom, nobody asked you to call with this common sense, okay? Nobody asked for this. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great week. Thank you. Man, I just, and this, again, it's me being emotional. And I know our texter Jonathan is probably listening, saying, see, this is why women shouldn't be radio hosts. I know he's listening. I know he's listening. All right, coming up next, I got this audio here for you, and it's adorable. It's adorable but disturbing, actually. We got some body cam footage from a police officer that busted a pet raccoon. during a routine traffic stop as this pet raccoon was trying to smoke meth through a pipe. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and springtime can bring a new season of change and growth. There are so many things to look forward to, whether it's walking your dog, taking a stroll through the park with a loved one. It can be just energizing to get outside. Getting back into activities such as these can be difficult, though, if you suffer from pain in your feet, knees, hips, or lower back. Our patented three-step arch support system has helped countless people find relief. Here's another customer sharing their Good Feet story.
Amazing, the change. No pain left in my foot. My ability to walk is vastly improved. Like on a Saturday afternoon, I will take my dog for a walk, which is, I would watch football, I would watch basketball, I would do anything but probably go out and take a walk. But I do that now because there's no pain. I'm doing things more outside than I would have otherwise before. It's just real. Like, it really does work.
Good Feet Arch Supports can be the solution you need to get the most out of your springtime activities. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk, or visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today.
Hi, it's Sean Casey. Get ready for a Maryland mashup you won't forget. It's WCBM's first ever Crab Feast and Chuck Roast, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions, happening Friday, June the 20th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Jimmy's Famous Seafood. We're talking all-you-can-eat crabs and all-you-can-lap as we take the gloves off and roast our buddy, Chuck Whitaker, no holds barred. I'll be there, Bruce Elliott too, cracking claws and cracking jokes. So come hungry, bring your best laugh. Let's make it a night to remember.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson Wednesday on the show. Great Britain takes a major turn right. Starmer is out.
Right, right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Kristi Noem makes mincemeat of Democrats on Capitol Hill.
Hey, where's the beef?
And the governor of Maine and her sister make a lot of money off transgenderism.
We just want to pop. You're off.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We're going to get to this pet raccoon here. Real quick, Brian, the producer, did you hear about Weight Watchers? They filed for bankruptcy. Yep, Weight Watchers. Ozempic wiped them out. This was announced just yesterday. I guess with Ozempic, if you lose the weight, you'll actually keep it off. Yeah. I know Weight Watchers, they've been advertising that for years now. You know what's always funny is, like, you know, you saw Oprah Winfrey. She was, like, the main, like, spokesperson for Weight Watchers. And I was always thinking to myself, she never loses any weight. Why? How does she get this job? This woman, she's like a magician, this woman. That is wild to me that she consistently was a spokesperson and never lost the weight. She's good, man. She's good. Or her PR team is really good. All right, let's get to this pet raccoon story. I know it sounds awful and it sounds really bizarre, but I was just strolling through X yesterday and I came across this video because there was a pet raccoon sitting in this car. And you have this police body cam footage of the raccoon sitting there. But it was so odd because you have the owner of the vehicle. She's standing outside with some other guy. They're on the phone. And I guess they're trying to call somebody as they, you know, were pulled over and everything. But as the police officer standing there, he looks over to the passenger side of the vehicle. And in the front seat, he could see this pet raccoon. And he was doing something very suspicious. Take a listen.
Hello.
The raccoon has her meth pipe.
As what?
Oh my God.
Her meth pipe. He's playing with the meth pipe right now. No, don't reach for it. That's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
that. Well, that's why I'm going to do it. Hey, buddy.
Huh?
It's okay.
Okay, you're on island. He'll be here in 2 minutes. I'm right across from my office.
Is that what that is?
A few minutes? Yeah. Okay. This is what she's smoking meth in.
Okay.
The raccoon's playing with her meth pipe.
All right.
Oh, there's no way. He's trying to smoke it.
All right. Thanks.
There's no way. All right. Enough fun and games.
Here.
Again?
Holy hell.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, he's on his way here.
Keep an eye. She was trying to take the meth pipe out of the car. Just keep an eye on her real quick.
All right. That was body cam footage from an officer in Springfield, Ohio. And he pulled this woman over, obviously for a traffic violation, but as he pulled her over, he realized that she was in a vehicle smoking meth. And so he had her step outside the vehicle. And then that's when the pet raccoon appeared. And now, meanwhile, this pet raccoon, one of the fattest raccoons I've ever seen, right? Eating very healthy. The owner of the pet raccoon and the meth pipe, mind you, very thin. And she looked, gosh, she looked almost 80 years old. And I guarantee you she wasn't even 35. It just, you know, say no to meth, kids. Really. I mean, she looked awful. But the cop, he was laughing because in the video, and if you type this in online, you can see the video for yourselves, but the cop was laughing because the raccoon took the pipe and actually knew what it was doing. And it was clear that the raccoon was getting ready to smoke some meth. And I... And this is why the cop was laughing so hard, because the pet raccoon was really about to hit the pipe. I was like, wow, this isn't his first time. Unbelievable. Springfield, Ohio, you take the cake on this one. I've never seen anything like that. But again, if you type online, pet raccoon busted trying to smoke owner's meth pipe, it'll pop right up for you. I do have a text here. Says they're all going to skip Preakness because idiots decided to fix Pimlico instead of moving it out of the city. So winners will boycott Preakness until it moves and goes away. You know, that could be a thing. I've been to Pimlico many of times, and I have always wondered why those tickets are so expensive. Pimlico looks worse than FedEx Field, and yet they still charge an arm and a leg. All right, tomorrow we'll have lots more to talk about, I'm sure of it. Coming up next, we've got Rob Carson. He has a great show for you. As always, Brian the producer, thank you so much for a great show. And to all of you, I will talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Chris Serbeck, president and owner of CrestLock.com. We have a